Hey, welcome. Come on into the Intentional Living Center. We've opened the doors, and this is a welcoming place. We love you guys. We want you to come on in. Today, we're going to focus on a topic that every person listening has experienced or will experience, and that's hurting. Hurting in your life, hurting spiritually, emotionally, physically, but some way hurting. Hurting, and who stepped into your life? What did they do that was the right thing at the right time for you? Helping those who hurt. And it's literally, the doors are open to you. By the way, if you stop by and you'd like to come and visit us and you're in the Tucson area, come and join us. So we have some friends watching the program today. You're always welcome to come and take a tour, see the facility, meet the staff. We'd love to have you. But maybe today in your life, wherever you are across the country, you're in the midst of a hurt in your life, an unexpected divorce, a health crisis, financial reversal. Emotionally upset. Something's happened in your family that was unexpected. Life tends to be up and down. We're either going into or coming out of a crisis. Hurt is a part of life. Sometimes it seems very deep, beyond belief deep. And the question is, what's the role that we have? The Bible talks a lot about helping those who hurt, coming alongside those who hurt, praying for those who hurt. We can do too much, obviously, you know, try to control everything and fix everything, or we can do too little, ignore it. Sometimes it's just a listening ear. But who stepped into your life? And what did they do? How were they intentional? Here's why we're doing this today. Because I believe somebody listening right now needs to know what they can do. And they need to hear from somebody who's done it or been done too in terms of a lot of love. What works? How do you help someone who's hurting? What's your story? Come tell us about it at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. We love you guys, and I'll tell you, the reason we do this program, the reason we have an Intentional Living Center is for one simple reason. It's for one reason alone, and that's to take God's Word and apply it to our lives. We live in a day when there is so much confusion, so much hurt, so many people don't know from day to day how to make sense out of their lives. God's Word speaks the truth, and our goal and our passion is to take the truth of God's Word and apply it to how we actually live, what we do to live intentionally. And this is part of it, this story today. Come share your story at 888-888-1717.
Hi, this is Lori McGee. I'm just leaving a message about being intentional. This last Sunday, I really didn't want to go to church, and I realized, well, if I don't want to go, there's probably a really good reason I should be going. So I went. There was a gal in front of me that I had never met, and for some reason, I just felt the Holy Spirit leading me to put my hand on her as she was sitting during our worship. Just put my hand on her shoulder, and I was like, no, I don't really want to do that. I've never done that. That's kind of kooky. Well, so anyway, I did it. And then our meet and greet time came, and I, you know, went up and talked with her, and she said, well, I can't shake your hand. And I said, well, how come? She goes, oh, my shoulder's injured. And I said, well, which one? And it happened to be the shoulder that I had my hand on while we were singing praise and worship. And I will say, I did feel the Holy Spirit when I put my hand on her. But anyway, I was glad I was obedient. I'm glad I was intentional. And I'm glad I stepped out in courage and in faith to listen to the Holy Spirit do what I needed to do and not be embarrassed by it.
Good for you. You know, that's really a big part of this thing of helping those who are hurting, just being willing to step out of your comfort zone. And if that's not something that you're comfortable with or something that you normally do, maybe today you're going to hear some stories of people who have. 888-888-1717. Connie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Appreciate your call. Tell about the person who stepped into your life. What did they do?
Well, actually, it was many people. They just prayed for us and prayed with us all the time through all of our trials, which were many. And we belonged to, you know, a church, and we were just, it was just one thing after another, and everyone kept, you know, keeping us encouraged, you know, God.
Well, how'd they do that? I mean, did they reach out? Did they do practical things? You were going through what? Just some financial or personal problems in your family?
No. My husband got laid off.
Okay.
And a week later, I got laid off. And then both of us are laid off. And we couldn't get any any stamps, food stamps or anything, because we made too much money with both of us laid off, which was like, oh my gosh, we have kids, how are we going to feed them? So we started going to food banks, and then I ended up having to have emergency heart surgery.
Wow.
And almost bled to death, and had to go to Washington to live with my dad with my kids until I recovered. So my husband looked for a job up there, and he couldn't find one, and he came back down to Arizona and started working. He had been working for a valet company, but it's only a part-time job. And we thought that that was, you know, bad. But, you know, God can help you through some really heavy things. And we just kept praying that I just kept visualizing Jesus holding me and holding my family and holding my husband and letting us know that we're going to be okay. And my friends and family, of course, my family would give some financial help, but it really wasn't enough to get us by.
Now, did people, on a real practical level, though, Connie, what did people do? What specifically did people do to help you when you were going through this?
People gave us... people paid for things, like when they asked us to go somewhere because we didn't want to go anywhere because we didn't have the money. So they would encourage us to go places with them, and they would pay for it. And they would drop by food if, you know, they were in the area. Oh, we're in the area. Hey, can you use this chicken? We don't need it.
And was that a positive experience for you?
Yes, it was. When I was a little girl, my dad hurt his back and was laid off, and we had five kids at home. And the church had brought over 17 bags of food. And that actually got my father to be a Christian.
Yeah, did you hear that? I mean, it was that act. When we talk about our faith, it does come down to not only saying God's going to be with you and God's going to bless you, but what do you do? How do you step up? And you can't do everything. I know we got some listening, and God love you. Some of you are listening, and you're already burned out because you're just doing too much, you know, and then you're going to feel guilty after this program like you need to be doing more. Then there's the rest of us that have capacity to be able to reach out, to help, to do more, to care for people through prayer and through practical application of what we've learned. Did you hear Connie say, hey, her dad came to Christ after 17 bags of food were brought from the church? You know why? Because God was in those bags of groceries. The love of God came through those bags of groceries, impacted her family, impacted Connie, now impacting the next generation. It gets back to being very intentional. Connie, thank you for your call. More coming. What are you doing? Who's touched your life when you were hurting?
This is Betty Garrett, founder of Caregivers for Cancer. One way you can be intentional in your caregiving is to live in the present. Forget about yesterday and don't worry about the future. When my husband Gene was diagnosed with cancer a second time, we didn't know we only had 9 months together. Gene was blessed with a wonderful sense of humor and a heart as big as Texas. We knew if God gave us 10 years or 10 days, we wanted to make the most of our time together. This can be difficult, especially when you have doctor appointments, radiation, chemo treatments. But here's what we did, and it may work for you too. We tried keeping things as normal as possible. We would rent our favorite movies and hold hands. We would walk as far as he could, but we still held hands. We played cards, and yes, we became selfish with our time together. And when Gene became too weak for any activity, we would hold hands and pray together. For Intentional Living, this is Betty Garrett.
You know, Betty reminds us that you got to take care of yourself, you got to take care of your relationships, you got to take care, like they say on the airplane, if the airbags fall out above your head, you're supposed to put it on before your child. I mean, you think logically, well, I'm going to take care of my child first. But if you're not getting the oxygen, you're not going to be even be awake to be able to help your child. And so that's a principle as we talk about helping those who are hurting. Make sure you're taking care of yourself. Stories of people who have been helped. Candy says online, praying for them. That's what I do. Sometimes listening is the best way to show friendship and that you care. Just giving up time and be with them and listen. Cassandra said, I believe in the power of prayer. So I pray for them. I know that God can do all things, so I pray in Jesus' name that whatever It is. He gives them strength during their time of pain. Jody says, listen, quietly listen. Then pray for them right then and there. That's a good point. Pray for them now. When you say to a person, hey, can I pray for you? Pray then. And bring God into the middle of this opportunity for him to do a tremendous work. Okay, Karam is on the line. Did I get your name right, Karam?
Well, it's close enough, Karam.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome to the program from Tennessee. Appreciate your call. How did someone step into your life? Tell us about it.
Well, this was not too long ago. I am a single mother, I'm a waitress, and things get really tough sometimes. Hmm. I called my brother and I said, Caleb, I just feel like I'm drowning. There is no way out of this hole. And he just speaks encouragement and just reminded me that this big, beautiful God of ours, this creator of all things, cares so much about me, little tiny me, that he wants a relationship with me. And that night, I told my brother, I was like, well, I need to make changes. I need to raise my son differently. Things have to change. That night, I prayed to the Lord, said, just come to me in my sleep. I'm too dense to understand you during the day. Just come to me in my sleep. I had a dream that was like watching a movie. I was a nurse, and I remember it so vividly. And I woke up to a text from my brother that said, have you ever thought about being a nurse? That was a month ago. Today I'm in school, and I'm going to school to be a nurse.
Good for you.
Thank you. It was just so encouraging to remember that this glorious, glorious, wonderful Lord of ours cares about the small things. And we're not drowning. We just need to look up rather than in.
Mm. Boy, that's something. You know, Karam, as I hear you share, it was the encouragement. You say your brother?
My brother, yeah.
That made a difference, enough so that you would even say, hey, I'm going to change my profession. I'm going to take what God's given me and build on it. So how's school going for you?
So far, so good.
Hey, listen, you're going to have discouraging days. You know that.
Absolutely.
And the enemy's not going to like what you're doing. If you're bettering yourself so you can, you know, fulfill kingdom work, just stay the course. You can do it. God never, he never puts us in a place, I don't believe, if he's really leading us, where he's not going to continue to be there with us. I think there are times we put ourselves in stupid places, and then we're begging, you know, for God to save us, and he wants us to get out of the hole we're in and go a different direction. But when he's in the middle of it, he's going to be there, and he'll be with you on the good days and the bad days, and he'll help you get through this. And Karam, I think if you trust him, you could be the best nurse in Tennessee.
Well, thank you.
Okay, appreciate your call.
Have a good day.
Thank you. How about you? Who stepped into your life? Maybe it was just a word. Maybe a word. I was telling some of the staff here before we came on Intentional Living that Don and I traveled somewhere. I don't remember, to a conference somewhere, and we arrived like 9 o'clock at the airport, and we were hungry, and we stopped by a Cracker Barrel driving to the hotel. I don't know, 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. Hardly anybody left in the place, just us and maybe a couple other people. And the waitress had a lot of time, so we started talking, and she was obviously hurting, struggling. It's kind of like what we just heard from Karam, trying to make ends meet, didn't know what was going on, having trouble in her home and with her kids. And I remember just encouraging her, letting her know God would be with her, that God cared for her. And as we got up to leave, it was like a $20 bill or something, I don't know. And I thought, you know, this is not only to say we're going to pray for you, but do something. And I can still recall saying, hey, you know, tonight I'm going to do a little more of a tip. I'm kind of like, you do the math and you give 15% or whatever. And I left $20 just to say, listen, you know, maybe a little bit can help. Sometimes in our lives, we can do just a little bit just to encourage a person. It could be something financial. It could be something with prayer, obviously, and always just a word of encouragement. But when you're hurting, what does it take? What difference does a word make in your life? Imagine what difference that word will make in somebody else's life if you choose to be intentional. I think there's a second purpose. In addition to creating an expectation, it's to create a goal of what I need to do. And so when we make promises, we create a goal on something that we need to do. Here's a fact. Jesus was a very goal-oriented person. And Jesus says in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. I can just picture the disciples writing as Jesus was sharing those words with their quill pen or whatever it is that they were using. They wanted to get this down, right? You know, could you repeat that, Jesus? This is our goal. This is what you want us to do. But he doesn't end with just go do this. Then he gives a promise to his disciples. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, when we have a goal that we've set with a promise, there's something powerful that happens in our life.
Boy, that's true. You know, if you ever have a moment and you want to start a process of studying the promises of God in Scripture, what an encouragement to you as you begin to take chapter by chapter, book by book, and hear the great promises of God. This month, our teaching is to learn how to make promises ourselves. You know, you can make a promise and break it with your kids and break their heart, break their trust, break the relationship much more deeply than you ever thought, mom or dad. You know, in fact, when it says, don't exasperate your children, but bring them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, one of the ways we exasperate our kids is when we say one thing and do something else. And so this month's teaching on how to be a promise maker, one of the goals, make less promises, keep the ones you make. But there's more in the teaching this month. I've received ours in our home. If you're not a member, we'll still get one out to you. You can join today and become a member of the Intentional Living Center. $1 a day is what we ask for to help us with the ministry, $30 a month to send not only the teaching, but this month we have a very special gift. It's the Intentional Word Chronological Bible. It's our gift to you, all 66 books of the Bible in chronological order. Did you know that the Bible, when you read it from Genesis to Revelation, is not in chronological order? And so as you start to read it chronologically, seeing verse by verse how the events actually occurred in time, really a very fascinating way to read through the Bible. And it's in a 365-day reading program. That's why we want to get this into your hands to help you be intentional in reading through the Bible in 1 year. So the teaching, the intentional word, and I said, guys, throw in the box the one thing wristband that I wear every day, and I challenge you to take a 30-day challenge. Every day, do one thing that'll draw you closer to Christ, one thing that'll bring him glory, one thing that'll strengthen your life and your relationships. And you tell me at the end of 30 days how that worked out for you. I think it'll be good. All right, here's how you can do it. We have operators standing by right now to talk to you at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. We're holding that number this week just for those who are joining in support. And so call 888-888-1717 or go to theintentionallife.com and click on donate. And thank you so much for your support. Here's a question from a woman about her husband, and she asked, my husband talks an awful lot about what he's going to be doing and the accomplishments in his life, but he just doesn't follow through. What can I say? What should I do? I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes 5 that we should let our words be few, for a dream comes through much activity. I like to put it this way, talk is cheap, but it's costly. You know, to get to second base with just your words isn't good enough. You've got to get around to home plate. A dream without a plan and a timetable is only a good idea or a good intention. So be honest in your encouragement to your spouse. Can I encourage you to say something like, you know, I support your dream and it hurts me to see that you have a dream in your heart but you're not acting on it. What can I do to help? When you do that in your marriage, that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Welcome to the Intentional Living Center. When you're hurting, what do you do? I mean, I just say to everyone, if you find yourself reaching out to someone that you love that's hurting, and you feel like they're angry, they're pushing you back, pushing you away, instead of being receptive, they push you away. Remember this. There's a principle that I've seen over the years of counseling with people, and that is that hurt people tend to hurt people. And so when you're hurting, the only thing you can sometimes do, instead of being open to receiving, you put a wall or a shell around yourself. And so at those times, it's just a matter of practicing the presence of Christ at that moment in prayer and in quietness and availability. Just a thought. Let's find out from Lauren what her story is. Lauren, welcome to the Intentional Living Center.
Hi, thank you.
Go right ahead. Tell us your journey and what did people do?
Well, just what you just said before you talked to me. That is so true. Hurt people hurt people.
Yeah.
And I went through a depression for about 5 years. And I pushed people away.
So when people try to reach out to you, what would you do? How did you push them away?
I was hurt at church when I was younger, and I took it out all on all of them, and I would just yell at them sometimes, and I'm so sorry for that, and just push them away when they wanted just to help me.
Well, who got through, and how?
Sorry, what?
Who got through to you, and how did they do it?
Well, they just pursued me like God would, and I didn't want anything to do with God, and they still pursued me and showed me God's love, and even through my suicide attempts and everything, they loved me, and that's the best thing you can do for anybody is just show them you love them.
So even though you, at the time, didn't want them there, they didn't feel your receptivity, they stood there anyway. They loved you anyway.
Yes, and they prayed for me, and I'm now back with God, and it's amazing.
Life's going much better, huh?
Yeah, that's God is amazing, and He loves you, everybody, so much, and just keep on holding on to Him.
Good for you. Lauren, hey, listen, thank you for telling the story, and there's got to be at least one person somewhere who's going through what you're going through right now in some way that your story made a difference to them. By sharing it intentionally with us, it'll make a difference to them. And thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you. Let's jump over to Susan. She's on the line here. Susan, welcome.
Oh, welcome. Hello.
Good. Appreciate your call. Tell us your journey. Who stepped in and why did they step in and what difference did it make?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my journey is that I went through just last weekend. I was in the hospital. I had to be taken by ambulance to a local hospital here in Phoenix, Arizona, with some real severe cardiac issues. And, to be honest with you, I really had thought I was going to die when I was in the emergency department because my heart was not converting back to the normal rhythm.
Yeah.
And through medications. And so during that time period, really, it was such an oppressive, awful feeling. And I had called my sons in Oklahoma, and I called my family and my sisters and others and said, oh, gosh, will you guys please pray for me, this situation? I said, I told the Lord I'm ready to go on if He wants to take me. But if He has a purpose and a plan still for my life, then please preserve that, you know, preserve my life because I want to fulfill that. Well, lo and behold, I'm still here, and it did convert back, and I'm still seeing a cardiologist, of course, and I'm feeling so much better. But I just really want to emphasize, you know, you talk and you teach us about being intentional. And I think when we are really intentional and specific with our prayers to God, and we let Him know, and other people you got this group of people who are praying and interceding for you, all in agreement for the same thing, and you're very intentional and focused in your prayers, that I really feel it touches the heart of God. And I have no doubt that perhaps somebody was fasting for me. My ex-husband called me and called several times to see how I was doing. And I've got this feeling in my heart he probably went on a little fast for me because I was having a hard time when I came out of the hospital. And anyhow, I feel like I'm on the up and up even just a week later, and things are much better. And I just want to emphasize once again, you know, just being there for people, as everyone has been saying in these phone calls, is so phenomenal.
And I think that's, God bless you. I'm glad you're doing better, Susan, and getting treatment. What do we hear here? When people are hurting, you're going to get mixed messages. I need you. I don't need you. I want you. I don't want you. I mean, that's part of the process. But as a follower of Christ, we're not there to fix them. We're not the Holy Spirit, but we're certainly there to love them and stand by and be available when we can and shut up when we have to and just be available to do what God would have us do at that moment, to be available for that person in need.
Hi, this is Jamie. I'm living intentionally by finding things to do to just touch other people. For example, the other day, my elderly mother, I took my makeup and my fingernail polish and pedicure material and hair items and went over and gave her the whole works. And by the time we got done with that precious moment, the glow off of her face was not from the makeup. It was from the time spent. And just the fact that she was able to share time and love and experiences with me. Another thing is just giving without people knowing who it was and the amazing effect that it has on me. It didn't even cost money. It didn't even cost me a thing. God bless.
Thank you for that story. We get so many stories that come into our comment line of people choosing to be intentional in some area of service. Now, the scripture does teach, don't think only of your own interests, but also the interest of another person. And so when you help people who are hurting, and boy, there are many of them, you'll never reach them all in a lifetime. And so starting today to find a need and fill it, as my dad used to say, and you'll always be busy, that's for sure. Hey, I want to say thanks to those of you who've been listening in today. Some of you are choosing to step up to an intentional life in Christ. You're telling us your story. And again, I want to say thanks to those of you who, during this special month, especially this week, are stepping up and joining in a very tangible way of reaching other people with this message of intentional living in your support of the ministry by becoming an intentional living member or sharing a single gift. We appreciate it a lot. Information on how you can do that is at our website, theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or you can call and talk to someone today to make your gift to the ministry at 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Next time, Sue Boland's going to join me. What if you have a child who rejects Christ? What a heartache. We're going to give you much encouragement, give you some really practical advice of how to be intentional. We'll see you then.